In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I need to say thank you to the rector and people of Christ Church for being our hosts. And I know some of you have driven quite a few miles to be here so we can have kind of critical mass to celebrate the beginning of the center of our lives as Christians. These 3 days that we spend now, lay it all out, and we find out what we are made of and made for. So to borrow a phrase from our Jewish neighbors who are getting ready for their own major celebration, what makes this night different from all other nights? Well, what makes it different is that the liturgy is not what we're used to in some ways. We'll strip the altar, we'll tell stories of foot washing, and recall the institution of the Eucharist. But as we read the story, what makes it really different is we run into Peter being rock hard in his own way. And we all know that Peter, in John's gospel, is us. Just as the beloved disciples us, so Peter is us, that part of us that always needs to be taught. So there he is, intense as he is dense, saying, "You will never wash my feet." And the answer that comes back, of course, is, "Peter, unless you let me wash you, you have no part in me and what I'm doing." And then, of course, Peter says, "Well, then give me the whole works, interior, exterior, undercoat, and all the rest." Still not quite getting it. But that's all right. The story is going to go on. And Peter, as we know, does eventually get it. But what Jesus is doing in that scene and in that conversation with Peter is cracking open the part of me that is conventionally religious and exposes it for what it is. Most of us want to have religion and keep the power, which is to say, I bet you everybody in this room would do anything for people around them when they're in need. I know that you take care of family, friends, the poor, that you welcome strangers, and that most of our parishes have some kind of real and measurable outreach. And we need to do that, and it's good, but when we do it, we have the power in that relationship. It's so hard to be on the other side. And what Peter is being asked to experience is the Son of God being his servant, caring for him. In other words, Jesus is saying you don't get to ever sing Amazing Grace ever again if you don't let people be gracious to you. You don't get to sing Amazing Grace ever again unless you realize that the Creator of the universe loves and cares for you just as you are. Goodness, it's 60 years ago, an American theologian, Paul Tillich, said, "The hardest religious task is to accept that you are accepted." The hardest religious task is to realize it really is by God's grace. So Jesus is telling Peter that his soul's at stake here. If you want any part of my kingdom, you have to let me be your servant. And letting me be your servant, you experience the truth that God created us to be in relationship with God and with each other. So for one really peculiar thing Jesus does at that Last Supper with his disciples is to take off his clothes and crawl around on the floor washing their feet, the lowest slave's job. He has a comment on that. You call me all kinds of important titles, and that's right, but if you want to find greatness, be a servant. But he's got something else to do. Passover's in the air. And he wants his community to experience and understand that differently. And he identifies himself with the Lamb. Now, I don't know how literally you take Bible stories. And I think Episcopalians are all over the map on that. One of our clergy informed me at dinner there's a local radio personality who thinks we're the same as atheists. But that story of Israel's release from Egypt is not just a cakewalk. There's a lot of dying going on around them, isn't there? Not just firstborn children, firstborn animals, and for all we know, plants. Now that may be too strong an image to believe literally. That's something each of us wrestles with. But it has a truth in it that's inescapable. Freedom, redemption, are very expensive things. And even though we would not like it, freedom and redemption are often moments of tragedy. The winning of the freedom in this country cost blood. Some people say we became a nation in the Civil War when we lost more people than in any other conflict. The truth in life can best be told, I think, from a Jewish story about the angels watching the Exodus. And some of the younger angels, the cadet angels who had just got their little winglets, are watching the scene of the Exodus. And as the Red Sea closes in on Pharaoh and his army, they start clapping like they're at a football game. And the older angel, who looks a lot like a nun in a Catholic school in the Blues Brothers, smacks him and says, "How dare you cheer for this? This is the world's drama. Do you not see the cost? Do you not see the cost?" Our redemption, anybody's redemption, comes at a cost. Jesus is our Savior because he was willing to bear a great cost. And he wants us to see that that exists in its fullness. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you. Every week, we see the results of our own violence and find in it our nurturance. Jesus, who bears the sins of the world, comes back to nourish it. And so his community is gathered around this strangely ironic meal where violence and nurture come together, where God trumps our violence and feeds our souls. This is my body, this is my blood. And that's the community that Jesus establishes on this night. Servants loving each other. Beloved servants sharing a meal that tells them, in the clearest symbols humans have, their food. That even when we are at our worst, God turns that around and makes it the time of grace. So Peter and we are asked on this night, before the stark realities we observe tomorrow, to feel the totality and the intimacy the love of God has for each of us. We are to be what we need. We are to let the one who feeds us touch us. The last thought. John closes that gospel narrative by saying, Jesus, knowing that he had come from God and was going to God, does and says what we've just reviewed. I think the message for me, for all of us, in tonight's commemoration, is that how we enter the Christian life is to each day make that truth our truth. Understand at home and at work, in our marriage and relating with our brothers and sisters, whatever, that we have come from God and are going to God. We're on a journey that is a circle. We'll go back to our source, and while we're here, God gives us the church and gives us the sacraments to fulfill and change us. Meal, bath, coming from God, going to God. May you have a great journey this Easter. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.